Episode 4, an interview with Paul Van Eeden on gold, inflation, and interest rates.
You're listening to the Priced in Gold podcast, where we look at the world without the distorting lens of fiat currencies and see the true prices of things as they've been measured for thousands of years by pricing them in gold. Comments for each and every one of our shows are open. You can email me directly, editor@pricedingold.com. You can call our toll-free Price in Gold listener hotline at 888-868-5656. Or you can drop by the website, www.pricedingold.com.
Don't make another buy or sell decision without checking the value and trend of your target security in gold. For a limited time, you can get a custom chart priced in gold for any security for only $9.95. Visit PricedInGold.com and check out the custom charts offer on the right-hand side of the page for full details. Make sure your investments are growing in true value, not just an evaporating dollar value. Price them in gold. Last year, in July of 2007, I attended the Agora Financial Investment Conference in Vancouver, BC. Now, there were a lot of excellent speakers, fascinating sessions covering all aspects of investment, and quite a lot of emphasis on natural resources and a very strong international flavor. I really enjoyed it. But one of the speakers who impressed me the most of all the things I heard was Paul Van Eeden. And on my return home, I subscribed to his newsletter. Now, I subscribe to a lot of newsletters, but I have to tell you, of all the newsletters I get, his is one of the ones that I look forward to most eagerly every week. Now, last month in May of 2008, I had the opportunity to interview Paul on the phone, and I picked up some great investment ideas and some tidbits of investing wisdom that I'm excited to pass along to you in this podcast. Because of its length, I'm breaking the interview up into two podcasts. The first will cover Paul's background and will lay out his views on gold, inflation, and interest rates. And then in the second, we'll discuss what to do about this situation, how to translate this view of the world into investment action. So, let's get started.
We're on May 9th now, and a lot has happened since last July. So maybe to start things off, Paul, could you tell us a little about your background and your experience in investing?
Hi, Charles. Yes, I got involved in investing in 1995 and moved to California in 1996 as a stockbroker specializing in natural resource stocks, particularly gold mining stocks. You may recall that in 1996 the gold price peaked and declined for 3 years, pretty much for 5 years thereafter. So it was an interesting learning experience to try and build a book as a stockbroker specializing in a commodity that's in free fall.
Yeah.
However, it was a very valuable experience because it afforded me the opportunity and the incentive to try and figure out why the gold price was declining. At the time, most of the commodity analysts were predicting higher gold prices, and certainly most of the newsletter editors and retail investors who were in the gold business were all expecting higher prices, and yet the price was falling very dramatically. And looking back, it was a very fortunate turn of events for me, because spending the effort to try and figure out what really determines the price of gold allowed me to personally make investments in the late stages of the 1990s and early 21st century that have truly changed my own life. And I was very fortunate to be an aggressive investor in gold and commodities in the years between 1999 and 2001. And as you know, the price of gold and the price of commodities rallied very strongly thereafter. But that's just part of the story. That brings us to the present. And I'm no longer a stockbroker. I now manage an investment company called Cranberry Capital and write a newsletter to subscribers, which basically talks about macroeconomic trends and markets and paradigms and things like that. But I'm still very much involved and very interested in gold because, like you, I believe that gold is money. And if we understand gold, the market, understand the gold market and the price of gold, it goes a very long way towards understanding a lot of other things that happens in the economy and in markets that sometimes confuse or perplex other market participants.
I'm a subscriber to your newsletter, and I find it extremely valuable and fascinating to read. It's one of the best commentaries out there. So maybe later on we can tell people how they can get access to that newsletter if they would like to.
Yes, certainly.
Okay, great. Given all that, this long period that you've been studying the macroeconomics of gold and as money, what's your assessment of the current economic situation, and how do you see things developing from here?
A lot more difficult than what they were in the last 7 years. If you had bought gold almost any time in the last 7 years, you would have done well. And the reason for that is simply that the price of gold responds primarily to inflation. You should think of gold first and foremost as money. It is the universal form of money, and it still is today. You know, the people who talk about the demonetization of gold are completely missing the point. Central banks own and purchase gold. Central banks trade in gold. Gold forms part of their foreign reserves. It is very, very much part of monetary, part of the monetary system. So it's not just us retail guys or people that you know are colloquially referred to as gold bugs or things like that think gold is money. But you have to think of gold as money before it will make any kind of sense. And as a monetary asset or as a form of money, the value of gold is relatively constant throughout time. It does have volatility, it does go up and down, but it is relatively constant in comparison to other forms of money, which are mostly fiat currencies. Now, the reason the value of gold is so constant is because gold is scarce. It's difficult to find, and it's very expensive to mine. And therefore, there isn't an overabundance of gold, and it's not very easy to increase the production of gold. However, because of the growing population in the world and because of technological advancements, the production of gold does tend to increase over time, even though right now it is falling. But moreover, when you think of gold as money, then the production of gold every year should not be seen in isolation. What gold mine production really is the inflation rate of all the gold that we've ever mined. Because essentially all the gold we've ever mined is still with us, whether it's in the form of gold bullion, such as bars or bullion coins or numismatic coins or jewelry. Most of the gold, almost all of it, is in the market. It's tradable. And so if you start looking at gold mine production, not in isolation, but as the inflation rate of this supply of gold, then things start falling into place. Now, this inflation rate of gold, which is annual mine production, expressed as a percentage of the gold that's been mined through history, this inflation rate is approximately the same as the growth in population, especially if you look at these trends over long periods of time. And that's the main fundamental reason why the value of gold is so constant, because the amount of gold that exists is relatively constant in proportion to the number of people that exist. Once you've got that basic grasp, then you can say, all right, gold is a universal form of money. It's the most ideal form of money. Aristotle, you know, figured that out 2,000 years ago. And its value is relatively constant. But the price of gold, vis-a-vis, say, the U.S. dollar, is nothing but constant. It is incredibly volatile. How can we then explain this volatility? Well, fortunately, it is actually very easy, because the price of gold in, say, U.S. dollars now becomes a function of the relative exchange rate, the relative inflation rate of the dollar versus gold. We know what gold's inflation rate is, and we have a proxy for the U.S. dollar's inflation rate, such as M3. And if you take M3, you take the change in M3 versus the change in the supply of gold, then you can calculate what the change in the price of gold should be in U.S. dollars. And if you do that calculation, you'll find out that now all of a sudden the price of gold is not random or that erratic, but it pretty much follows the inflation rate of the dollar vis-a-vis the inflation rate of gold.
Fantastic. That makes perfect sense.
I have to add one thing to that, though. That's the primary driver for changes in the price of gold, is the relative inflation rate versus whichever currency you want to measure it in. But since 1971, after the Bretton Woods Agreement collapsed, all the currencies in the world became free-floating against each other. We went into an environment of fiat currency and floating exchange rates. And therefore, when you look at the price of gold in any one particular currency, such as the U.S. dollar, again, for example, then overprinting this general trend of gold to reflect relative inflation rates will be changes in the exchange rate of the dollar versus other fiat currencies. Again, remember that gold is constant. Now, if you price gold in U.S. dollars and the U.S. dollar exchange rate appreciates against other currencies in the world, for whatever reason, capital flows are the typical reason, then this stronger U.S. dollar exchange rate makes everything that you purchase on foreign markets with dollars less expensive. So the dollar strengthens not only against foreign currencies, it will strengthen against commodities such as copper, lead, and zinc, and nickel. It will strengthen against gold. The gold price will fall in U.S. dollars merely because the dollar exchange rate has increased relative to other currencies. The reverse happens when the dollar falls in exchange value. When the dollar exchange rate falls, then everything you buy with dollars internationally becomes more expensive. Other currencies become more expensive. Commodities become more expensive. Gold becomes more expensive. BMWs that you import from Germany become more expensive. And so overprinting the general trend, price trend of gold, will be the volatility imparted on it by changes in exchange rates. And it is really these exchange rate changes that explain the dramatic price changes that we've seen in gold, where gold deviates from its value as calculated by inflation rates. As examples, the spike in the price of gold in 1979 and 1980 that led to the high of 850 in January of 1980 was a direct response to the falling US dollar exchange rate during that period. Most people today, the younger people particularly, forget that there was a severe currency crisis that developed in the 1970s and peaked in 1979 and 1980. In fact, the dollar, the confidence in the US dollar was so low by 1979 and 1980 that the United States government wasn't able to issue treasury debt denominated in US dollars. I mean, think about this.
That's
the United States government wasn't able to issue treasury bonds and treasury notes denominated in US dollars. They had to issue them in German mark and Swiss franc. That's how low the confidence in the dollar was. That's how severe the dollar crisis was. And it was that dollar crisis, which was a decline of the US dollar exchange rate, that caused that spike in the US dollar gold price. And when the US dollar exchange rate turned and started appreciating again, the gold price in US dollars started falling again. Now, it's not an exact one-to-one correlation because speculators come in and emotion takes over, and there are things that exacerbate the trend. But the cause of the spike is undoubtedly the weakness in the US dollar during 79 and 80 and the dollar crisis of the time. And similarly, the decline in the gold price from 1996 to 2001 was due to the strengthening of the US dollar exchange rate. And exactly the same way, the increase in the gold price from 2001 until now has a lot to do with the weakening of the US dollar exchange rate. But all these exchange rate changes and the volatility imparted to the gold price by these exchange rate changes are overprints on the long-term trend of the gold price, which again is determined solely by the relative inflation rate of the dollar vis-a-vis the inflation rate of gold itself.
So where do you think we are in that cycle, and what is, in general, do you think people can be expecting? You said you think times ahead or will not be it won't be as straightforward as a simple decline from here as it has been more or less for the last number of years.
Yes, that is correct. In 2001, for example, gold was well under $300 an ounce. It was 260 more or less. You know, it was between 250 and 270. It depends on what time averages you want to use. But it was well under $300 an ounce. But even then, it was clear that the price of gold, based on relative inflation rates, had to be substantially higher. And the only reason why it was so low was because of the tremendous appreciation of the US dollar exchange rate during the late 1990s. And so it was a very compelling investment thesis for being long gold. And if you had bought gold in the period from 2001 to 2003, or even from 1999 to 2003, understanding the investment thesis that the gold price should be about three times higher than what it was based on relative inflation rates, and the only reason it wasn't was because of the appreciation of the dollar exchange rate, you know, it was a very easy bet to make. Now, people at the time didn't want to believe that the dollar was overpriced. But if you had looked at the increase of the U.S. trade deficit and the deterioration of the balance of payments of the United States government, at least to some of us, it was very, very clear and evident that the dollar had become overpriced on foreign exchange markets and had to fall. And this decline of the dollar exchange rate had to bring the dollar gold price back in line with where inflation rates dictated it should be. The reason I'm saying that it's going to be different now is because we've pretty much reached that point at which the gold price is reflecting its correct level as suggested by relative inflation rates.
Okay.
But life isn't as simple as that. At least markets are not as simple as that. Because from August last year until March of this year, the price of gold rallied by approximately 50%. Now, if the price of gold rallies in a period of 7 months by as much as 50%, then just, you know, intuitively or you should expect this to be some kind of a retrenchment. You know, that's a very, very strong rally in a very short period of time. And I had written about that in my newsletter to my subscribers, that I thought that the gold price had rallied too fast in too short period of time, and that we should expect the gold price to fall from its levels of over $1,000 an ounce, and in fact that is exactly what happened. That doesn't mean that the increase, or the medium to long term increase in the gold price is over, but what it does tell us is that the enormous, the very large gap between gold's price and gold's value has been closed. And what we're looking at now is exchange rate volatility and speculation overprinting a less severe discrepancy between gold's price and gold's value. Mm-hmm. And that makes the whole market very, very different to play in.
Because now things like interest rates and the issuance of currency, relative amount of issuance of currency, the rate of monetary inflation in other countries and so forth, are all going to become a much more important drivers of the near-term price changes.
Yes, those things have always been important drivers. They of course, impact the price of gold to various degrees. But what's going to happen now is that, and let me just step back.
Yeah.
In 2003, for example, gold was still under $300 or around $300 an ounce, if my memory serves me right. And, you know, by that time, I was calculating gold should be around $750 an ounce. So there was a very good appreciation potential for gold. That no longer exists. That difference between gold's fundamental value and its price has closed. Gold is trading very close to where I think it should be trading. But what's changed is that the rate of inflation of the U.S. dollar is twice as high now as it has historically been in the last 60 years. The monetary aggregate, M3, was created during the 1940s and during the 1950s. And the Federal Reserve started publishing M3 data around 1959. One of the Federal Reserve banks did a study and they back calculated M3 to 1949 using the same methodology.
Uh-huh.
And if you look at the M3 from 1949 to now, and you use that as a proxy for the rate of inflation of the U.S. dollar, then the average annual increase in the dollars, as measured by M3, is around 8%. take 8% and don't add too many decimals to it, because it depends a lot on which periods of time you want to use. But the average over the entire period from 1949 to now is approximately 8%. However, now, since 2008, since December, M3 has been increasing at almost twice that rate. In March, the increase in M3 was well over 16%. In April, it was 17%. It looks like this month it's going to be around 16% again. In other words, the rate of inflation of the U.S. dollar today is twice its historical average.
Uh-huh.
And that's an incredible rate of inflation. 16% inflation is incredibly high.
Very high.
To put this in perspective, Charles, the highest rate of inflation in the 1970s was less than what the rate of inflation is today. The highest rate of inflation in any year in the 1970s is less than the current rate of inflation. Interest rates by the end of the 1970s, by the beginning of the 1980s, interest rates in the United States peaked at 15% or more, depending on which term, you know, which interest, you know, which bond term you want to look at. But interest rates were 15% and more, based on an average inflation rate during the 1970s of 11%. Today, inflation is 16%. And it's this very high rate of U.S. dollar inflation that's going to keep pushing the gold price higher and higher and higher.
Okay, we're going to end this episode here. Remember that when Paul talks about gold going higher and higher, this is just another way of saying that the dollar will be going lower and lower, losing value over time. And remember, too, that all these factors he's talking about, interest rates, exchange rates, and so on, are dynamically linked, that a change in one of them influences the others in an intricate dance. Trends don't go on forever. As they strengthen and develop, they naturally create counterforces that eventually cause the trend to taper off and finally to reverse. Identifying these changeover points is one of the keys to really successful investing. In our next episode, Paul and I talk about why the present moment is just such a point and how to take advantage of it as an investor. If you'd like to subscribe to Paul's newsletter, and I strongly recommend that you do, I've put a link to his website on pricedingold.com. Just visit the show notes for this episode. You'll find it in there. And don't forget that the 2008 Agora Financial Investment Symposium is coming up July 22 to 25 in Vancouver, BC. I know Paul's going to be there. I'm going to be there. There's going to be a ton of fantastic speakers. And I highly recommend that if you can make it, you make the effort, because you'll find it's well worth your while. And I'd love to get together with you in person as well. Just drop me an email and we'll try to get together. I'll put a link to the symposium sign up on the website as well. Just visit pricedingold.com and you'll find it in the show notes for this episode.
You've been listening to the Priced in Gold podcast at www.pricedingold.com. If you're a subscriber, we want to thank you for being one and tell you that we're very aware of your valuable time and mind share. If you haven't yet subscribed to our podcast, please consider doing so, so that you can have new episodes of our show delivered directly to you the minute they're released. You can find Priced in Gold at the iTunes podcast directory. Simply search for Priced in Gold. We also have a number of subscription buttons and options at www.pricedingold.com.